Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, this time on Dancin' Moon Songcast, we're going to talk a little bit about the title song from 2009's Nothing New, a song by the same title, Nothing New. And just by way of explanation here at the beginning, new is spelled K-N-E-W, so nothing new. We'll give a listen to that song and talk about it on the other side.
Nothing comes between us. between us. Nothing comes between us. Nothing comes between us. Nothing comes between us.
Probably be helpful to have just a little bit of context for this song. This song was written in 2007, published, of course, in 2008 on the Nothing New album. But 2007 was a transitional year for us. It came at the end of actually several transitional years, which is really has a lot to do with what the song is dealing with. A few years earlier, 2002, we ended up having to move down to Texas due to a situation of not achieving tenure at the university that I was teaching at. If you have done any work in higher ed, you understand that. The term is publish or perish, and unfortunately, I had definitely published, but I perished anyway. So my family and I were required to move on from the town that we dearly loved. And so we made the best of that. And at some point, about a year later, I found myself just accepting the job of a lifetime, kind of licking my wounds from the failure to achieve tenure. The job the dream job at the time was being the director at a camp, at a youth and family camp down in New Mexico, which was just lovely. It had been a wonderful place for us many years earlier, and then it was a church affiliated camp. And I should have known at the time, but being the somewhat progressive myself, I should have known that it might not end well. And certainly it didn't. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. It was a beautiful community, and many, many wonderful things. But in about 2 years, it didn't end well. And we moved on, primarily because of differences connected with, I suppose, for lack of a better term, theological issues. So right out of the frying pan into the fire, we moved back to the wonderful little town that we dearly loved. And I'm not trying to be cryptic here, but I am trying to somewhat be aware of identities. I took a job actually working as a minister in a small church that was full of people who were wonderful, and they were so incredibly supportive as we came and as we left the difficult situation, or the series, a two-punch kind of series of difficult situations. And within a year, maybe a year and a half, things had gone south again for similar reasons, I would say. I guess I'm just a little too progressive. So that third punch then actually sent me back in to a professional situation that I had not thought I'd return to. We moved to Grand Junction, Colorado, where a couple of great friends lived. A good friend of mine who was teaching in high school got me a high school English teaching position back in 2007. And so that's where we were, and we were living, we had to move so quickly. Our house and most of our belongings were still, in the town where we were at. And we jumped up and with some support of some friends and family, that were still just really supportive of us, we moved to Grand Junction, Colorado, rented a little house, had no furniture, lived pretty much out of suitcases for a year, my wife and I and our youngest daughter. And it was a good year in many, many, many ways, but it was not a year in which I realized teaching high school English was not something I needed to do for the rest of my life. So all of that is to say, that's the context for this song. I created a little recording studio, literally in a closet. And I'm not talking about a big walk-in closet. I'm talking about your standard little bitty cram a few clothes into it closet. It was the best place to record in the space that we had. So that's what I did. So you can imagine me with my guitar crammed into the closet among the coats as I recorded this sort of angst-ridden, sort of sad song. So how did this song come about? This, I decided to put together an album. I actually had two songs previously recorded that had not made it onto an album yet. And I thought, well, you know what? I need to do something here. And I wanted to do something that was minimalist, partly because I was recording in a closet. And I wanted to kind of reimagine a number of older songs. And so I thought, hey, well, that's kind of cool. I'll do an album that doesn't really have any new songs per se. And I'll just call it Nothing New. But then it occurred to me that that I had the opportunity to do something with the words there, because I thought, what would that mean? Nothing new, K-N-E-W. It kind of personifies nothing, which I kind of like the idea of, because I was in the midst of this existential kind of angst around these three massive blows that had happened over the previous 4 or 5 years. And I was feeling very empty in many ways at the time. So Nothing New seemed like a great title. But then I thought, no one's going to get that unless I actually write a new song called Nothing New, with new spelled that way. And so that's what I did. So ironically, the album Nothing New had nothing new on it except for the song that was the title song called Nothing New, which actually was new, N-E-W. So confusing. Yeah, I know. So anyway, that's how this came about. So minimalist in the closet, angst-ridden, full of existential sort of doubt, self-doubt. And then creating a song, a kind of a gimmicky song, to carry forward this idea of what if the one thing that knows something about what's going to happen is the great nothing? And what is that great nothing? What is that great emptiness? Is a great emptiness an existential emptiness at the center of the universe? I suppose I was grappling a little bit with that at the time. And what does it mean if nothing, if the great nothing knows, is the only one who knows anything? So we'll take a look at the lyrics and then talk just a little bit about the music and see where it takes us. So the song begins, nothing new, I'd fall again. Nothing new, the bitter end. Nothing saw me safely home. Knew I'd find myself all alone. Nothing new, nothing new. One of the ideas that I kind of enjoyed in thinking about this is that unless someone read the lyrics, they wouldn't get the double meaning. It just sounds like, I don't know, nothing. You can take that phrase, nothing new, in both ways. Nothing new, I'd fall again. Well, that kind of helps you get that there's a double meaning there. Nothing new, the bitter end. Nothing saw me safely home. So this was, you know, in the wake of the third heavy fall, and I was certainly reeling from thinking, wow, I guess I, you know, I keep getting back up and then something else hits us. And it wasn't just me, it was me and it was the whole family. It was my wife, it was my two daughters, and I'm the one who's stepping out there and then the one who's responsible for all of us having to move again, having to be hurt again by community members that we dearly loved. So struggling with that. Nothing saw me safely home. Nothing saw me safely home. I wasn't really sure where home was at this point, what that meant. Because we kept getting the boot and we would settle in and say, hey, this is great. And then something would happen. Knew I'd find myself all alone. And of course, I wasn't alone. I was, our family was alone or felt alone sometimes, but we had plenty of wonderful friends. We had moved to Grand Junction because we had a couple of really awesome friends there who are still great friends. We had lots and lots of friends and family who were supporting us. It's just that in the midst of all that loss, you're very hyper aware of the community members and friends and even family members who maybe don't feel so supportive for one reason or another, and you become really focused on that, and so that has a lot to do with this existential crisis that I was in. Next verse, nothing healed my broken mind. Nothing was a good friend of mine. Nothing stings like alcohol. Nothing echoes down the hall. Nothing new, nothing new. So, you know, the broken mind thing there, at some point in all of this, you begin to say, hey, is this something I can really blame on all these other people and institutions? Or is there something wrong with me? What is it that I'm doing? The unifying factor here is me. Is there something going on wrong in my own thinking. Nothing was a good friend of mine. I'm feeling the loss of friends there. Nothing stings like alcohol. You know, alcohol is one of those things when you're a kid where you go, oh, this is good for this open wound that I have. Apparently it's good, but it sure doesn't feel good. I'm wounded here, and I am concerned about what it's doing ultimately to me. So that's why you use the alcohol to clean that wound up. But the pain of addressing that open wound is all you can think about when your mom's dabbing it with a cotton ball full of alcohol. So. In the midst of trying to clean things up, the pain of trying to clean things up, of trying to address what feels like an open wound, nothing echoes down the hall. That emptiness, you know, I think this is a hall of the institutions. When I think about universities, when I think about schools, when I think about churches, hallways, when you work late and the building is huge and the building is empty, and they've already shut off the lights, and you're all by yourself trying to make sense of things. I think that kind of came into that image. So this next section, sort of a bridge section, we just repeat, nothing comes between us, nothing comes between us, nothing comes between us, nothing new. Nothing new. So the paradox in that phrase, I really enjoyed playing with that. It's a very positive statement to say nothing comes between us, but that's not what this is saying. Nothing, that existential nothing, always comes between us. The misunderstanding that led to denial of tenure, the misunderstandings that led to me having to leave the camp, having to leave the church and the community, those misunderstandings, the nothingness of that, the emptiness, the existential angst of that, came between us and people that we cared about. Nothing comes between us. So the next verse. Nothing always speaks the truth. I suppose I was grappling with that. Is this emptiness really the truth? Is that the truth of things? And then, of course, the other way to read that line is, you won't find truth. Nothing ever speaks the truth. Everything's a lie. So both kind of depressing. Both ways of taking that line are not real great. Nothing always speaks the truth. Nothing stopped old Mr. Booth. Good old John Wilkes had to come in there. The one who murders the great emancipator. Nothing stopped old Mr. Booth. Nothing feeds the hungry children. Hungry children whose bellies are filled with nothing. Nothing pacifies this war we're building. Nothing new, nothing new. So I suppose it felt like a war, my own private war, my own little personal war, idealistic or ideological maybe war in trying to figure out what this means. I was working in areas that I cared deeply about, both the teaching and the the camp directing and the ministry, that I mean things that I cared about, people I cared about, ideas I cared about, and yet it seemed to be turned into a war. It seemed to be turned into something that divided us rather than brought us together. The loss of that, the sadness in that. And then once again, we've got an extended bridge where we hear nothing comes between us. Nothing comes between us. Nothing comes between us. Nothing comes between us. Nothing new. Nothing new. So feeling that gap. At the time, I think I was feeling a big gap. I mean, we had moved far away from people we did dearly love, and we felt that distance. We felt that gap. We felt that emptiness. And I had to watch also my wife and my youngest daughter, who was there with us. I had to watch them feel that emptiness. Now, it wasn't all emptiness. There were many, many good things that happened in that year. But having to watch them deal with that and knowing that at some level I was primarily the one responsible for it, that's difficult. So the song ends, nothing gained, nothing lost, nothing heads off the next Holocaust, nothing knew the bitter end, nothing knew I'd fall again. So, I don't know, that right now that feels to me a little bit poor me, poor me. But I think that's where I was, doing a job that I didn't think I'd ever wind up having to do again, teaching high school, which I am a big proponent of teaching and teachers, but that's just not... teaching in the high school English classroom is, I think, not the thing that is sustainable for me the rest of my life. But there were many good experiences there with those students, with those colleagues at that school. But I was feeling very, very lost, very empty, and wondering what all of this collectively meant. So just to talk a little bit about the song itself, it is basically acoustic guitar. There is some banjo in there, which is actually a six-string banjo tuned like a guitar, so that the cording is the same as playing a guitar. And then, of course, a couple of... the lead vocal and then some harmony in there, and if you notice the vocal style seems very vulnerable. As I listen to my voice in that now, it's a very vulnerable vocal style. It's a sad, haunting, which fits the song, but I suppose there are times when that kind of song, that kind of sound needs to happen. When you're overwhelmed with sadness and sorrow, and the only thing that feels good is just really giving into it, just letting it be as sorry and sad as it really does feel. And so sometimes those kinds of songs are really exactly what's needed. The kind of song that addresses exactly where I'm at, the catharsis of that. So there we go. Nothing new from the album of the same title. Nothing new from 2008, recorded in 2007. And by the way, released in 2008, once we moved back to that wonderful little town that we had to move away from for a little while, which is where we're living to this day. So happy ending for the empty, existentially depressing song. Thanks for joining me again on Dancing Moon Songcast. We do release a new episode every Friday, and we hope you'll join us again. You can find all of my music and all the lyrics on scottsimpsonmusic.com. And, of course, you can stream any of my music from Spotify or Apple Music or anywhere else that you like to stream. Thanks again for joining me today, and we will see you next time. Be well.